Desmond Bane is an all-star, you cowards. Own it, believe it, buy it. Usually I subscribe to the Call Me a Christmas philosophy, but when I see the swole shooter, as he's become lovingly known, go off the way that he does, I have to stand up for him, and I will continue to do so. This episode is dedicated to the greatness of Desmond Bane. Lock in, Grizzlies fans. This is Locked On Grizzlies.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We're available on YouTube, on any platform where you can get a podcast, rate, review, subscribe, make us a part of your Memphis Grizzlies fan or just general information process, not just today, but every single day. We are sponsored today here on Locked On Grizzlies by LinkedIn. Today's episode brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs in particular, which helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNBA. I am Joe Mullinax, and I am so happy to be joined once again by my wonderful co-host, the very handsome, the very suave, the very smart, much more talented than me, beat writer for the Memphis Grizzlies of the Commercial Appeal. He's the boots on the ground. I'm the big head that yells from far away. Mr. DeMichael Cole, how are you doing, sir? It's so good to see you.
It's great to see you, Joe. I appreciate all the compliments. Don't sell yourself short now.
If you're watching this on YouTube, you know. Even if you're just listening podcast-wise, you can hear the hideousness, the ugliness of me. Thankfully, DeMichael Cole brings that up for all of us here on Locked On Grizzlies. And by all of us, I mean myself. You know, I'm as large as two people, but I digress. DeMichael, in the cold open, I'm sorry. I lost my cool. Every once in a while that happens. I yell.
I've been waiting on you to start the, you know, we've seen it on Twitter.
Yes.
You call people
cowards. They're cowards. They are.
To hear you say it on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, it's a different feel. It feels even more authoritative, you know, than it does, you know, on the Twitter platform.
And now people can use my voice, and when they see me tweet in all caps, they know where the energy's coming from.
Yeah,
they can put my voice to those words, and that will most certainly help them with their Memphis Grizzlies fan experience, as we just mentioned a moment ago. Obviously, that's a major part of this. But you know, DeMichael, on the last time that I was on our podcast waves, I gave flowers to Steven Adams, who, and I know you did over the Commercial Appeal as well. Excellent article. I believe I retweeted it. I read everything DeMichael does because DeMichael's wonderful. But anyway, I would highly recommend you follow him if you don't already at DeMichael C on Twitter. He puts out great work. And I, you know, we were on the same wavelength, even though we hadn't been hosting in a while together. We were simpatico. Our wavelengths were on the same thread in terms of Steven Adams being really important. I think that this time we have to make sure that Desmond Bane is being appreciated. And I don't want it to seem like I'm being the fanboy, which I am a little bit for Desmond Bane, that is just frustrated that, you know, Bane's not getting national attention, because he is receiving national attention. I don't think he's getting enough of it. I don't think when I said Bane's going to be an all-star this year, because I did say that for the record. I said that. People didn't take me seriously enough. Are you not entertained? Are you not fully seeing the vision that I saw from Desmond Bane? Because DeMichael, I've got numbers pulled up in front of me. I've been watching game clips today, as I normally do in preparation for our show. This dude's usage has gone up almost 6%, and he is scoring even more efficiently. He is facilitating offense at the highest level he ever has off the dribble, creating opportunities for his teammates. Desmond Bane isn't a dark horse all-star candidate right now. He is an all-star candidate. Point blank, period. put some respect on his name, you cowards. Not you, DeMichael. Just everybody else that is not respecting Desmond Bane. I know you do. You're not the coward. Everyone else is the cowards. Just
yeah, I mean, he's having a season, right? Like, I mean, I was looking at his numbers the other day, and it was like 28, 38, 19, 28, 24. And it was like he's really stacking performances on top of one another each and every night. And it's the efficiency. You remember how he struggled from three-point range to start the season? Now you look up, he's shooting 45, 46% from three-point range. So I was like, throw that out the window. I mean, the numbers are back to Desmond Bane's level. And then there's the playmaking and all things like that. But, I mean, I'll tell you a conversation we were having with John Morant the other day in the locker room, you know, about Desmond Bane. And he's already starting the campaign. You know how they were doing the campaign last year for Desmond Bane, for Jaren Jackson Jr., for Ja to be all-stars and stuff like that. But I feel like that Desmond Bane campaign is going to be one you're going to hear not just now. You're going to hear it all the way up through January, all the way up until the all-stars are announced. Because, I mean, Ja Morant, I mean, I'm pretty sure he was joking, Joe. I'm pretty sure he was joking. But he basically said, look, if Desmond Bane – he said, we're not worried about it. You know, paraphrasing, he was like, you know, think about Desmond Bane's all-star candidacy. He was like, we're not worried about it. It's like, if Desmond Bane's not an all-star, we're boycotting. So, I mean, that just goes to show you these guys are fully behind what Desmond Bane is doing. You mentioned the numbers. I've talked about, you know, the numbers as well. We've talked about how he and Morant complement each other. And I even took it a step further, you know, the other day, Joe. Here's another way they're complementing each other. And this is what makes – you know, even the great duos elite. When one guy's in the game, that guy can dominate, and then that guy can go get a break, and the other guy can take over the game while that guy goes to the bench. Have you seen the way Desmond Bane plays with that second unit? Like, we're talking about Desmond Bane when he's playing with Ja. Desmond Bane with the second unit is an entirely – I mean, I'm going to eventually – We got to get into it, Joe. Somewhere in there, there's some per 36 minutes numbers of him playing, you know, with the Tyus, Brandon Clark, and John Conchar grouping as compared to playing, you know, with the starters. And I'm sure those numbers probably tell an even bigger story of how great this guy's been.
Bane is phenomenal. I can't stress that enough. And I'm going to say it. You don't have to say it to Michael because I can say crazy things. Desmond Bane is the best value in the entire NBA in terms of what he is doing in terms of his production on a contract that the 30th pick in the 2020 NBA draft, and I know we'll talk a little bit about that later on in the show, he was the last guy in terms of guaranteed money that could have been selected in that draft. He is making pennies on the dollar compared to what he is actually providing for this team. He is due a big pay raise, which I know that we definitely will talk more about further down the road. But I just, your eyes match what the numbers tell you. Again, his usage through the roof, 90th percentile among wings in assist percentage at 20.5%. That is almost 7 percentage points higher than it was even last season. He's shooting 46% from three. That's 90th in the NBA in terms of percentiles. He is maintaining his elite scoring ability while not losing his efficiency due to increased usage. He is not defending quite at the same level that he was last year, at least in terms of blocks and steals. Those percentages are down a little bit. But again, that's almost nitpicking at this point. Something is going to go off a little bit or slack a little bit. And again, any of these numbers being used on November 9th is risky and requires a grain of salt in terms of, you know, statistically, you need a larger sample size. Yeah. But Bane has been playing his tail off to this point. It's been extremely impressive.
33 minutes per game.
That's amazing.
That's the other one. This is a guy who – this is why 33 minutes per game is impressive for Desmond Bane. And we'll see. You know, he talked all offseason. Well, not all offseason. Going into the offseason, I remember in the exit interviews, we talked to Desmond Bane, and he emphasized, he said, working on his body just being able to handle the full load of the NBA season It's something that he was going to emphasize in the offseason. Now you see him kind of wearing, you know, the protection around his waist before he checks into games. And people were wondering earlier this season, like, oh, is there something still going on with his back and all that? And he cleared that up really quick. So that's precautionary and whatnot. But 33 minutes per game is nothing to scratch at for a guy who on offense is running miles. He runs some of the most around the court on the offense. And then before Dylan Brooks got back, he was the guy chasing a lot of the best players on the defensive side of the basketball as well. So he gets asked to do a lot. And for him to score at that level and play 33 minutes and, you know, shoot efficiently like he's doing, I think he's having, you know, a more complete season. And we're going to be talking about Desmond Bane in the All-Star game in a couple months.
We're going to be talking about his all-star counterpart, the guy that makes that backcourt in Memphis tick so well, Ja Morant, alongside Bane in our next segment. Today's episode is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. It's extremely effective, extremely efficient. In my past experience with it, it's super easy, especially to create a free job post on LinkedIn Jobs. You add your job in the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so that you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to hire and interview. Finishing the year strong is vitally important now and every year, and having the right team member can help you do just that. It is why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNBA. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Ja Morant and Desmond Bane obviously are major pieces of the future of the Memphis Grizzlies. They also are by far the, again, we talked about value in the previous segment to Michael. In terms of value, these are two guys. I know Ja Morant just signed his max extension. He doesn't have that money yet. So you've got Morant and Bane both on rookie contracts this season, putting up massive numbers. Again, in terms of plus-minus, they are the best plus-minus duo on the Grizzlies when they play together that's played at least 9 games together, okay? Dylan Brooks is actually having a really strong start to his season. I know you've written about Dylan as well recently, DeMichael. Brooks is part of the best two-man lineup numbers over at NBA.com/stats. Steven Adams and Ja Morant are his two best partners. But again, Morant and Bane, in terms of guys that have played more consistently in terms of games, it's Morant and Bane. They score so well together. They are really strong in terms of their shooting percentages. Both of them combined, shooting 38.8% from beyond the arc. It's just really amazing to see how much these two guys complement each other, DeMichael.
You know, Joe, I put out a tweet the other day, and it was like, I wonder which of these NBA, you know, these young backcourts, the people like the most on a national level. And I mentioned Atlanta, you know, with Trae Young, DeJounte Murray, and of course Memphis. And then the third one was Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell, the newer backcourt pairing, you know, over there. Well, the Atlanta one is new too, but those two new backcourts are off to really terrific starts. I mean, Atlanta, shout out to them, right? They just knocked off the Bucks. Bucks came out 9-0. Till they ran into Atlanta, and DeJounte Murray won that game without Trae Young even playing. So, you know, terrific, terrific backcourt over there. We saw Darius Garland get hurt and Donovan Mitchell kind of keep the Cavs moving in good direction there. And we've seen, you know, Ja Morant and Desmond Bane contribute to winning with the Grizzlies when the other player, you know, was out at times. So, you know, when you look at this backcourt, you mentioned it. Right now, they're getting the bang for the buck. It's not going to last too much longer. Ja's getting his next season. And guess what? Desmond Bane will sign his contract in the offseason more than likely. And then the next year, his will kick in. So you better enjoy, you know, getting these guys at this discount while you can. But But Joe, it's an interesting question because, I mean, I want to know what you think too. Where do you rank these guys in backcourt? Because I asked John, and this is the way I phrased it. I said, John, look, Desmond Bane and Ja Morant are a top blank backcourt in the NBA. And he said, one. And then he told me, he said, easy. That's an easy question. And then he said, top two, not two, which is the tweet I put out and you know, the remark that a lot of people saw when he was referring to his backcourt. He said, top two, not two. And, you know, it made me go look at some of the better backcourts out there. You got Atlanta, Trey and DeJounte are playing well. Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell are kind of playing well. Then there are the regulars, right? CP3 and Devin Booker, Dame and Steph, Maxey and Harden, Luka and Dinwiddie. What about, you know, the other couple new parents out there? De'Aaron Fox, Kevin Huerter is kind of like a similar parent to Ja and Dez last season, I think. Not Ja and Dez this season, but the, you know, the dynamic point guard with the sniper shooter. And then you have Dame and Anthony Simons. It's a new parent over there in Portland that's you know, kind of doing some nice things. But, Joe, where do you got them? Desmond Bane, Ja Morant? Ja says top two, not two.
I say top two, not two as well. But I provide the caveat of value, right? Like CP3 and Devin Booker are probably, I'm not going to put them in front of Ja and Bane, but they're in the conversation, but they both make copious amounts of money. Same thing with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. And I would argue that Klay, you know, isn't quite what he once was, but even if you want to give them the championship pedigree, understandably so, again, they make copious amounts of money. Trae Young and Dejounte Murray are an interesting pairing. Again, I don't think Murray is making max money. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, but he's got a decent contract, but it's not that level of cash. So I think Young and Murray are comparable in terms of what their value will be. They just have a smaller sample size. We haven't seen them together as much with that Murray deal happening over the offseason. I would say it's Ja and Bane with the added criteria, before folks yell at me, of value. Right? This may not be true 2 years from now when Ja is probably making supermax money. If Morant stays at this level, he'll be on the All-NBA team again, maybe second or third team again. But he'll be on the All-NBA team, and that'll kick in his supermax. And then, you know, Bane will have some – he's getting closer to a max deal. I used to think it was crazy that he would make more money than Jaren, and it doesn't look as crazy anymore.
He's going to get the max.
Yeah.
It's his max number will look different from the Ja Morant max because, you know, you have those little structures.
All NBA escalators.
We'll talk about all that stuff as the time gets closer. But I think the way he's playing, especially if he's an all-star, because we're in the days of the NBA now, they're handing out max contracts.
And, right.
Desmond Bane, I mean, you look at those Jordan Poole and those Tyler Hero contracts, and he's clearly outplaying those guys right now.
That's the floor at the very least. I agree. He's probably going to get more money than both of those guys. The Bane and Morant lineup is just so strong in terms of how well they complement each other. The dribble penetrator with Morant, the sharp shooting Bane. But one of my favorite things about the season so far, DeMichael, is at times they've been able to switch roles. Right, Bane has looked really strong as that dribble penetrator that kicks out to open shooters. Morant has hit threes at a higher level than we're used to him seeing. And again, it's early, sample size matters, but we are looking at a duo that really is finding ways to not just complement each other, but make each other better. It's almost like they're in a symbiotic relationship where each of them are connected and intertwined. It's been impressive to see that chemistry develop.
Yeah, you make a great point because the thing is, with them switching roles kind of like that, I think it's just the development of their games. You know, because last season with Ja, you were saying, oh, the shooting's inconsistent. You want to see him become a more consistent shooter. We saw in the playoffs, you know, teams like that Minnesota series. He just didn't shoot the basketball really well. And then with Dez, it was like, man, he's shooting the ball so great to this point in his career. He has to finish around the rim better. You want to see him attack the basket. He shoots so well from the free throw line, but he barely shoots free throws. So you want to see him do more of that. And now You're seeing this aggressive version of Desmond Bane where he's averaging over 4 assists per game. Like, who thought, right, when Desmond Bane was drafted, like, oh, this is going to be a 25-5, you know, type player. And then Ja, you know, you mentioned the three-point shoot, over 45% for him, you know, as well to this point. And then, yeah, the free throw line, Desmond Bane has more than doubled his free throw attempt average so far. I think he was around 2 attempts, free throw attempts last season. Now he's at 4.5. Like, this is definitely the next step of evolution in their games. But you summed it up perfect. It's not just the fact that they complement each other. It's the interchangeableness through that, whether it's one guy's on the court, one guy's off the court, and that guy is carrying the team. Or it's the fact that, hey, Desmond Bane can get downhill and Ja Morant doesn't mind being a spot-up shooter. You know, you think about certain teams where, you know, OKC back in the day, as great of a duo as Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant were, you wanted to keep the ball in Russell Westbrook's hands as much as possible, because when Kevin Durant kind of became that primary ball handler type guy, you didn't like having Russell Westbrook as a spot-up shooter. You know, you like just having Kevin Durant ISO on the block and have Russell Westbrook feed him that ball. So they didn't have, you know, that type of, you know, possibility that the Grizzlies have, where they say, hey, Desmond Bane can run, you know, after a rebound, Steven Adams can pass it to him, he can take over in transition, and vice versa for Ja Morant. It's kind of an interchangeableness there. And, you know, it's making this team better. And it's that next step in the evolution. It's not only, you know, helping Ja, but it's helping Dez. And it's funny because now it just popped in my head how going into the offseason, Desmond Bane, one of the things he said was he wanted to work on that because he wanted to take pressure off Ja Morant. And I think we're seeing that.
Absolutely. It's been very impressive to watch play out, and we'll continue to see it playing out on Wednesday night as the Grizzlies head to San Antonio to take on the Spurs. And there's another member of that 2020 draft class that the Grizzlies will see in that game. That's what we'll talk about in our next segment. But first, thank you for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen today. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. It's available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. This episode is brought to you by Bet Online. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball, soccer, esports, and all. They've got it at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can also find those at BetOnline. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix at BetOnline. Make sure you're heading to the website today or using your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. DeMichael, the Grizzlies are in San Antonio taking on the Spurs. I am curious as to your take on something. Mark Schindler, who I'm a big fan of, I want to stress that. During my time at GBB, we had him on our podcast network multiple times. Very, very smart about the NBA. He does great work for The Athletic now, writes about the WNBA, writes for Dime. He mentioned in a 2020 redraft that Vassell for the San Antonio Spurs would probably be his top guy outside of LaMelo Ball coming out of that draft now. And that was something that I really didn't see coming in terms of understanding the ceiling of Vassell, but not taking into account the fact that Desmond Bane has had a higher level of productivity. You could even make an argument that Tyrese Maxey of the 76ers has had a higher level of productivity to this point in their careers than Devin Vassell. But there's no denying how strong he and the Spurs have begun this season. San Antonio is obviously not in line to compete for the long haul in this NBA campaign, but Vassell is an early most improved player candidate, given how he is doing and exploding onto the scene in terms of a productive first or second option for San Antonio. So let's preview the game tonight through that lens of Bane versus Vassell, and how you see that matchup playing out, because obviously Bane is the better player right now, but you could argue that Vassell has the higher ceiling long-term. And I think that's what Mark was doing on Twitter. And if you want to check it out for yourself at @MG_Schindler, S-C-H-I-N, D-L-E-R. He points out that he loves watching all the guys that he's talking about. But again, he thinks Vassell hits all NBA impact, whereas Maxey and Bane maybe make some all-star teams. So he just sees him ascending to a higher level. Mm-hmm. How do you see that playing out in the here and now, Bane versus Vassell? Two 2020 probable lottery picks if the 2020 draft was redrafted today.
Yeah, I remember it being a thing. You know, when he came out of Florida State, a lot of people compared him to like those long 3-and-D, you know, type guys. I think Mikal Bridges was like a popular comparison for him, Devin Vassell, that is. And you know, Desmond Bane was kind of a, you know, looked at as a 3-and-D guy too, but less ball handling and things like that. And what we've seen is, you know, Bane's pretty much breakout, not to the national level maybe, but, you know, his coming out party was last season. Devin Vassell averaged 12 points per game, you know, last season. So he was still, you know, still kind of, you know, unheralded there. But the guy's good. He is people see, oh, they let go Lonnie Walker. And now you see why they let go Lonnie Walker. They have Keldon Johnson and they have Devin Vassell. And that's their wings that San Antonio can kind of mold their team around for right now as they, you know, go into this next, you know, journey for their next, you know, group of young players that they're building around. But yeah, I think he's a talented player, right? If you're going to make that argument, I think it has to start with saying, hey, you know, you're thinking that he's a better two-way player. You know, you get these super long arms. He gets his hands on a lot of basketball. I love the creativity, Zayshon. I actually got a chance to just watch him a little bit today just to get, you know, more familiar with what he's doing this season. You see him doing a lot of things off the dribble. He has a turnaround shot. He's playing in pick and roll. And, you know, they're clearly saying, hey, the chains are off. Like, run. Do what you want to do in this offense. And he's thriving. But with all that being said, I don't use the word ceiling when it comes to Desmond Bane. Because that went out the window a long time ago, Joe.
Fair.
When people said, oh, this is a guy who's going to be a 3-and-D guy, and at his best, he would be, you know, a solid 18 point per game, you know, 40% three-point shooter. He's eclipsed that. And this is, what, year three? What's the ceiling? What's a ceiling for Desmond Bane? We're seeing now, you know, him develop more scoring around the rim. So what's a ceiling here? I mean, I think I throw that out the window. And frankly, you know, with Devin Vassell, I think the argument is that you're getting better two-way. And then there are the, you know, the physical things there that he can do with the long arms and things like that. Desmond Bane, still, you got a certified sniper who plays well alongside Ja Morant. We just talked about this being one of the top backcourts in the game right now. No one's saying Devin Vassell and Keldon Johnson are a premier wing duo yet at this point. So I get, you know, what Mark is saying in terms of, you know, if he's projecting it. But right now, I don't think there's a huge conversation. We're talking about a guy who's having a breakout 10-plus games right now. Let's see what he does, you know, over the full course, you know, of a season. We've seen what Desmond Bane can do over the full course of a season. Now what we're seeing from Desmond Bane is just solidifying what he did last season and then just proving that this guy has even more levels that he can reach to crack that so-called ceiling that people talk about, Joe.
You keep forgetting to bring up how everybody talks about his tiny little T-Rex arms, right? Like how his wingspan is a negative wingspan, and that was one of the reasons he fell in the 2020 draft. I like that the Grizzlies front office just drafts good basketball players. You know, they don't care so much about those measurables. Obviously, they value athleticism. That's one of the reasons Brandon Clark is here. So I'm not saying they don't value that, but they clearly value, are you a good basketball player? And obviously, Brandon Clark falls into that category, as does Desmond Bane. I'm curious to see how tonight plays out. No disrespect to that Spurs young duo that you just mentioned. The Grizzlies youth, Morant and Bane, they've gone to battle against the Golden State Warriors in the playoffs. They've been in Golden State in a playoff atmosphere multiple times, stood toe-to-toe with those guys. I think I'm with you. It's Bane with a bullet right now. That doesn't mean that 5 years from now, you know, Vassell can't be this better player in terms of what he physically brings to the table. But I feel like that argument is just a continuation of the reason that Bane fell as far as he did in that draft. It's repetition of that mistake, which I'm not going to do. I didn't make that mistake in the first place. I love Desmond Bane, thought he was a great fit. But, you know, other folks, and I like Mark a lot, no disrespect, other folks can keep doubting Desmond Bane. I'm out of that business, and I never really was in that business. Shout out to Desmond Bane. He, just as much as John Morant, in my opinion, because Morant was supposed to be a superstar, right? He was supposed to be. When you're the number two overall pick, you're supposed to be someone that a franchise can build around. And to Ja's credit, he's been that and then some. When you're the 30th overall pick, you're not supposed to be this good. Desmond Bane is that dude. He is that good. He is a legitimate second option for a championship contender, and that is massively valuable. Whether he's alongside Ja, whether he's by himself, whether he's being compared to other members of that draft class, Desmond Bane continues to thrive. Thanks for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen today. For your second listen today, check out Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Next time we're together, DeMichael, it'll be post-Grizzly Spurs. We'll break down that game, all the ins and outs of it. Vassell versus Bane, I'm sure, will be revisited. The guy that the Grizzlies should trade for, if at all possible, just for marketing purposes, Jakob Poeltl, old Poeltl's fried chicken himself, will be back on the floor taking on Memphis. Lots of fun storylines within that game.
We haven't mentioned the Jones brothers yet.
That's true.
Trey's a starter now.
So we'll talk about all those things, I'm sure, in our next episode, which I'm very excited about. Again, we're together, and we'll be part of that process together and looking forward to that. As we close out this week of episodes through our final show on Friday, it's a twosome with DeMichael and I, and I'm excited to continue to build up that rapport and that relationship. And hopefully you're going to continue to join us each and every day, making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen and part of your Grizzlies experience. So for DeMichael, thank you so much, sir, as always, for livening up and beautifying our product. I'm Joe Mullinax. Continue to stay locked in with us here on Locked On Grizzlies.